Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can have as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one will progress to the next stage, where its sole aim will be to appear on Scroobius Pip's Films of the Year at the end of 2023. I'm Joel, a man who puts the ooh in New Year, New You. And across from me is John Harris, a man whose New Year's resolution is to finally confront the faint voices he hears from his attic each night. Hi, John.
Hello, that's my partner and my child, I believe.
This is the year to speak to them.
I'll see if I can muster the courage. They
You've
seem like nice
months.
People. They seem all right.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions? Are you like a big, full of hope and optimism at midnight on December 31st kind of guy? Excited for the year ahead? Or are you one of these like New Year's Eve deniers?
I would have been, but like since having a human child, it means like I'm still sort of very much in the Christmas funk. I've like not fully unpacked all the bags from when I went to see family at Christmas, because every waking moment is spent making sure a tiny human being doesn't die.
Fair enough.
Cheery. Joel, before the podcast started,
here's to another year of that.
Yeah. Joel went, are you all right? You seem a bit down. I was like, no, fine. And then I've opened with that. So clearly, that.
Good. So stick with it, listener. Let's see which other dark places John descends to for the next 25 minutes on what is a broadly sort of fun light podcast. So maybe that's the new direction for the new year. A really horrible listen.
Maybe my new year is a horrible sort of existential guy.
Okay, I might not show up next week.
No, I'll bring the fun.
Okay, John. Well, how about you bring some fun right now from a listener? What's our first film idea?
What about this one from Nick? Topic Blunder. A group of maverick chocolatiers are forced to remake cult classic chocolate bars to prevent war or something.
That's good. One of the best things about BuzzFeed in the early years was it reminds you of obsolete chocolates. That was always fun. There'd always be like a listicle, 20 chocolates you might forget. You might have forgotten used to exist.
So topics, you can't get them anymore.
I think you can get a topic. But I think a topic is kind of like, I don't know, it's select corner shops. You know, like where you'll see a white Twix. You can't roll into an Asda and pick up a white Twix. But
no.
there'll be a guy in a corner shop somewhere near you, and he'll be stocking a white Twix, a white Lion bar.
Yeah.
And you don't see them anywhere else, but where's he getting them from? Who's his guy?
I don't know. Yeah, if you want a normal chocolate bar, but with just a dark or a white
or like a
variation.
Little, a slightly different filling. It's the corner shop. It's not, you know, a supermarket with a huge confectionery aisle.
We're not quite on like Japanese level of variety of Kit Kats, but if you go to a corner shop, you're going to get some pretty tasty.
Listening right now, if you walk into the corner shop nearest to you, you'll see a chocolate bar you've never seen before. I guarantee 100%. Every time. Guarantee it. Let us know.
So the topic, it had like fruit and biscuit. Is that right?
No, that's a picnic.
Oh, so what's the topic?
I think.
Oh.
Topic chocolate bar.
Sorry, I should have researched this. I didn't realise.
No.
I thought the second I said topic, Joel would be like, yep, could give me the calories.
Whoa. They decided to stop making them last year.
Oh.
Shit, man. Is nothing sacred anymore?
So, right. So, in the interest of the plot, I think...
It's hazelnuts. It's a hazelnut-based chocolate bar.
That sounds all right. I'd go for that.
But you never not did, anymore. John, and that's why they're not making them anymore.
So, because I got them mixed up with a picnic in my head, I think, and I just never went for it.
So, probably what happens in this movie is these chocolate bars get made obsolete, so they start making them on the black market.
Okay.
And big chocolate comes after them. So basically, you can commission these guys to make you bars that no longer exist. A Cadbury's Dream bar, for example.
Mm.
And they're selling them, you know, it's like they're dealing on street corners. They're selling you these bars that you can't get elsewhere. It's like the sugar tax thing. They're also brewing up original brew Iron Brew.
Oh, wow. Then, these guys know what they're talking about.
And then the big dogs come for them. You know, Mr. Mars himself.
Until a few years ago, they were doing Whispers. They really lost a big corner of the black market when Whispers became legit again.
Well, that's the argument for legalizing drugs, isn't it? Is that you can monitor the ingredients and tax them and offer safe places to take them. And I guess that's what happens with the chocolate as well. The big chocolate companies realize that it's maybe sullying the name of the topic. The thing is, you buy a topic from a bloke on a street corner, you don't know what it's cut with.
It's true.
There might be a bit of Caramac in there.
So my sort of thought was... I know that Kim Jong-un is into basketball.
Okay.
No, he's into basketball and he went to America and he's got like, there's elements of American culture that he's very into. And there are sort of like rich parts of like London where billionaires from who are doing nefarious things bring their kids to sort of get privately educated, right? Mm-hmm. So could it be some sort of Russian dictators like loved topics? Went from their time in London and then
nice.
They were like, now they've been discontinued, they're threatening war on the UK unless they remake the topic bar. But for some reason they lost the recipe. So these mavericks have to recreate the
nice.
Topic.
That's great. You know when a baddie will kidnap a scientist and make them do their evil deeds?
Yes, exactly.
They do that with like one of the recipe developers at Mars.
There we go. I love that idea.
That's a really good idea. That's really fun. I can see Illumination Pictures being all over that.
Well, they wouldn't say Russia or something. They'd say, do you know what?
Blooptopia.
Yeah, exactly. I know that in Top Gun Maverick, one of the things that I only got halfway through it before my subscription to Paramount Plus. So I got half a movie out of my subscription.
So you subscribed to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And then the month I assume you subscribed for was running out and you thought, yeah. Fuck, I've got 45 minutes left of my Paramount Plus subscription.
It wasn't like, no, I didn't start at like 11 o'clock and then at midnight it went no more. I just started it and then...
You were trying to figure out how to change the time zone on your phone so that it would give you another hour of Paramount Plus. What happened? Did it halfway through say...
No. I stopped. I paused it halfway through because I had something else to do and then my subscription ended. Which is... I prefer your version of events.
It's so funny.
Desperately.
Want to finish this movie? Pay us $7.99.
That was like when you used to change the clock on your like GameCube so it would... think that you'd been playing a game for a certain amount of time to get extra bonuses.
So, John, you signed up for Paramount Plus and used it to watch half of Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good going. If there's anyone that's signed up for a subscription service and seen less, not nothing.
Yeah.
Because exactly. You might have done that by accident. But if you've signed up for Apple TV and watched like the opening music to like Slow Horses or something, and that's it. Would love to hear from you.
I know that, so my point was going to be, and I know that this continues throughout the film, is in Top Gun Maverick, they never specify where the enemy is from,
nice.
Or what they are. So
nice.
You know that the heroes are American, but you have no idea who they're fighting against.
Great.
So as not to upset any sort of territories.
Yeah. Well, quite often now it's just like anonymous terrorist cell, isn't it? They could be operating from anywhere.
It used to be Russia, and then it was definitely a generic Middle East, but now... Mm-hmm. I think Russia's coming back in a big way in terms of movie villains.
Yeah, which is villains. And Back to the Future went big on the Libyans.
I like that.
The Libyans!
Throw like a dart at a map of Europe or something and just pick a country and just say, the terrorists are from Norway.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Let's do it. Right, so the baddies.
Wales.
The baddies in Topic Blunder. Also, I don't feel like we focused enough on the blunder element. It has to go catastrophically wrong at some point.
I think the first few bars that he presents to this Russian oligarch are just horrific.
The Welsh oligarch.
The Welsh oligarch.
Right, would you like another one from me? Or have you
Yeah,
got
go
one?
On then. I've got one, but if you seem very keen to give me another one, John, so hit
Let's
me
go.
With
it. This one's from Sophie. Watership Clown. Harrowing animated movie, but it's clowns instead of rabbits.
Love it. That's great. There is something desperately sad about clowns.
Well, exactly. To be fair, we don't have to go too far. I haven't seen Watership Down because basically my main knowledge of Watership Down is it will scar you for life.
Yeah, I've never seen it for the same reason.
So I think it's rabbits, one gets rabies, it all goes wrong.
It's got the Art Garfunkel song.
Yeah.
Bright Eyes. So this would be Bright Nose, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of sad clowns. One of the clowns dies at the hands of a trapeze artist. And I think isn't Watership Down like they're two? No, surely it's men against rabbits. Right?
You think it's warring factions of rabbits? Because I like the idea of warring factions of clowns.
I think it's warring factions of within the circus.
Oh.
So the strong men, the trapeze artists, the lion tamers, the clowns, they're all at each other's throats.
The thing is, animal tamers have got a real advantage here, I'd say.
Mm. But
You can get a lot of clowns in a tank.
I think like a Knives Out at the circus would be good if a clown was killed. A murder mystery at the circus. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. You like it? Daniel Craig comes in. I love it.
Yeah.
That's.
I think Knives Out everywhere is good. Name a place and Knives Out would be good there. The aquarium. Brilliant.
Well, this is it. Like, this is, you know, there's that Prey film that came out, which was like Native Americans
versus Predator.
Yeah. And apparently there's like a feudal Japan one coming out, like they're working on. And it is just like, yeah, historical era. Add a predator,
yeah.
You're going to have fun.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think it's sort of a similar thing with
Knives Out. Name a place where there's like going to be a collection of people. It will be fun. Yeah, that's TGI Fridays. Great. I can't think of any places that aren't an aquarium or TGI Fridays. Do I just want to be a 9-year-old boy again?
Oh, that's such a lovely day out.
That would be a lovely day out, wouldn't it? John, can I take your son to TGI Fridays and an aquarium?
Sure. Which
way around would he like to do it, do you think? Or would he kind of controversially like to go to the aquarium after the starters?
That would be weird. No, I think you'd have to go food, then aquarium. I think aquarium's going to entertain him. I think he'll eventually get bored of food.
And you can probably get a fun ice cream at the aquarium.
True. Yeah, and you don't want to give... He's only little. You don't want to be giving him one of those enormous sundaes that TGI Fridays do.
No way. It would kill him.
Absolutely. And we have decided that I'm trying not to do that.
Yeah, which is very brave and very responsible of you. What's the biggest irresponsible food you've given to your son?
He's had two Happy Meals.
Yes.
At the same time. He wanted the burger, he wanted the nugs.
Of course he did, don't we all? It's good of you to admit that. What did you have?
I have
three Happy Meals.
This is going to go on forever. I had the Big Tasty.
Oh, it is good.
It was big and it was tasty.
They always deliver.
You know, no false advertising there.
Well,
what
done.
Would you have, Joel? Talk us through your McDonald's order quickly before we move on to a movie idea from you.
I'm so glad you asked. I normally go 5 chicken selects, large, and a fillet of fish. 2 or 3 fillet of fish if I've had quite a bit to drink.
Well, I guess a fillet of fish is a burger, but no sort of traditional burger.
It's the best thing on the McDonald's menu. And the best thing about France, I say this speaking to someone who is 50% French, is that they do a double fillet of fish. And that is why, I think it's probably why it's regarded as having the best cuisine in the world, right?
Yeah. You can get wine in a McDonald's in France.
You can. You can get wine and a double fillet of fish. You get a lovely white wine and a fish meal. Beautiful.
Amazing.
That's a romantic date. Hey, how about this one from someone? Stu, £7. Will Smith meets 7 people in need and leaves them a nearly irrelevant amount of money in his will. I feel like Will Smith, it's been a big year on this podcast for Will Smith. His movies are very, very, very... He did. And as a result, he's really been propelled into the consciousness of this podcast. But I think his movies are very easily Dream Factory'd. They're like one step away from... You think about like Hitch... And Hancock, they're all kind of like a bit of a gimmick idea, aren't they?
Should we try and do a Will Smith special at some point in the future?
I would love to. Do you think we can get him on? All
right.
Or just someone called Will Smith.
Hey, there is a British comedian called Will Smith, isn't
there? There is. We'll try it.
Okay.
So yeah, Will Smith meets 7 people in need and he leaves them £7, which actually I think being left £7 in a will is probably really frustrating, right? I imagine there's quite a process to go and claim it.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah, there's probably some admin fee, so you'd probably only end up with £2.50 or something.
You'd end up with £2.50 in someone's will. I like it. Or, yeah, does Will Smith leave sort of £7 to everyone on Earth?
Wow.
That'd be fun. What would you do? You get £7 from Will Smith. What would you spend it on?
Lunch.
Yeah. Kind of Happy Meals. I think because it's from Will Smith, if it was a check, though, I'd probably frame it.
But the problem is, it's not that exciting because everyone's
got it. That's a good point.
It's not like if you were the only person to get that check. That the check is of more value than the actual thing. But
seven scratch cards.
Yeah, classic.
It's got to be right.
Maybe that's it, and maybe we follow these people. And at first, they're like, "What the hell is this?" He's adjusted for the admin fee, so it is £7 they're all getting. And yeah, and you follow each person, and one person does scratch cards wins. One person maybe gives it to a homeless person, and it changes their life. You know. That's actually turning into something resembling a quite moving film.
And it turns out that actually it's not a nearly irrelevant amount of money.
Yeah. You know? The only thing is the moral of the story is like Will Smith was great for giving people not much money, which I'm not over the moon about.
No, I am.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's another one from Martin. Duffy the Vampire Slayer. Holby City nurse by day, scourge of the dead by night. Now, was there a nurse in Holby City called Duffy? I'm assuming there was.
Lisa Duffy Duffin is a fictional character from the BBC medical drama Casualty.
But they're the same hospital, John.
Are they?
Yeah, Casualty's just the A&E of Holby City.
What on earth?
Am I blowing your mind? And it's the local hospital for East End, isn't it?
Why don't they do that? Multiverses are so big right now. Just say all soaps in the same place.
That would be brilliant. A soap opera multiverse.
Just see Phil sort of stumbling in the background of Holby City.
That'd be amazing.
Mm. BBC, you're welcome.
You are welcome. Yep, so Duffy, I get it, being a nurse, what would you have access to in a hospital that would help you slay vampires?
Well, you've got the blood, which is going to help sort of...
Lure them in. Yes. Vampires, right? Surely they're going to blood banks all the time.
Oh, 100%. It's wooden stakes. They're not silver, are they?
No. She works the night shift at a blood bank. And no one else knows this because it's the graveyard shift. But every night she's fighting off vampires in like a Home Alone style. There's booby traps. She's killing vampires left, right and centre because they're trying to get to the blood.
And yeah, there must be stuff you can do with like scalpels and, you know, general sort of hospital equipment. My brain is thinking about the idea that, you know, garlic is like a blood thinner, and I wonder if any sort of blood thinning pills that they give to people in hospital actually have elements of garlic.
That's nice.
Chuck that at them, sort of.
Very good, very good.
She can say some sort of funny quip about their like taking their daily dose as they're
nice
melting.
Yeah, I think vampiric siege on a blood bank's great.
Yeah, really good. And then
it's like a fucking Ocean's 11 film where a team of vampires are trying to steal all the blood.
But now the problem is, are you not now sympathizing with the vampires, Joe? Because you love getting the gang together. So
I want to get the gang together, but
Duffy's the bad guy.
No, that's the thing about this film, John. There is no bad guy. Because the vampires are kind of ethical because they're not killing anyone.
Okay.
But they sort of are by denying blood going to people. But they don't, that's when they learn the error of their ways. It's quite interesting, I think. These vampires need blood, so they think, well, let's hit the blood bank with an elaborate heist. And what they don't expect is for Duffy to be working the night shift.
Duffy is some sort of like Van Helsing style thing. Yeah. She's got like a...
Nurse Helsing.
She's got like a whole utility belt of vampire killing sort of things.
This is a really good idea. This has been a good day for actually good ideas, I think.
Yeah. I think we're...
Speaking of which, how about this one from Danny? Cocaine Bear Witch Project.
Cocaine Bear Witch. Oh, hello.
They do both happen in the woods. I reckon some campers go to the woods, they take industrial amounts of cocaine and they start seeing things.
Including a bear.
Including a spooky bear. A spooky bear.
I've not seen the Blair Witch Project, but my partner gets very angry at me if I stand facing the corner of a room. So I think that's a reference to the Blair Witch Project.
No, it's just because you've got things to do. Like she's like, she wants to go out. She's not seen the Blair Witch Project either. But what's annoying, John, is you do it for hours and your baby is screaming.
I'm having a think.
You've got
I'm
work
just having
to
a
do.
Think.
And you're just unmoving, staring at the corner of the room. My partner gets so annoyed when I stare at the corner of the room. I think it's a Blair Witch Project thing. No, John, you're just denying all responsibility and you're stood in that corner for 10 hours a day. Headphones in.
Cocaine Bear Witch Project.
They hallucinate a great big bear, I think. They think there's a bear chasing them in the woods and it kind of turns them all against each other. And obviously when they come to and the destruction and havoc that's been wreaked has all been by them.
And you thought the bear you imagined was bad? Here's a real bear. And then the bear chases them down the forest.
Oh, great. That's the worst come down ever. You wake up and an actual grizzly bear is ripping at your throat.
You're like so relieved. Like, oh my God, we just dreamed that all. It's fine.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, have you got another one?
What about this one from Dan? Silence of the... Right, this one written down confused me for a while at first. Silence of the Iams. William Shakespeare is traumatized by a psychotic villain and can no longer write poetry in iambic pentameter until he confronts the villain in a series of tense interviews.
Nice.
It confused me because uppercase I looks like a lowercase L, so I thought Dan had just sent Silence of the Lambs.
But it has, for some reason, Shakespeare's in it.
Yeah, I love the idea of sort of gritty, sort of serial killer vibes with William Shakespeare.
With the florid iambic pentameter. So I guess the good... No, so who can't speak in iambic pentameter anymore? Shakespeare.
Shakespeare can't write any poetry until he works out why this villain is sort of freaked him out.
Nice, nice. And they conduct their interviews in verse.
Yes, but not iambic pentameter.
Not iambic pentameter.
Of course.
Of course, because that's gone.
And maybe... Maybe the villain only uses iambic pentameter and that's why he can't. He's like, I don't want to use this. And the villain's been sort of writing clues as to his next killing in iambic pentameter. That's what's freaking him out.
That's
another
good.
Quite good idea. From
wow. Hey, John. I feel like there's been too many good ideas on this show. So let's do our own. Here's one from me. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny's Child.
Oh, here we go. I love it.
The three sisters are back in action. They have stolen, I don't know, some sort of hugely significant historical artifact and an old blundering Indiana Jones has to go and claim it back.
Oh, so they're the villains?
I think Destiny's Child are the villains. And I think they're back on tour and they're wheeling out like the Ark of the Covenant or something at their live shows. And Harrison Ford has to try and look like, blend in at a Destiny's Child gig and get backstage and reclaim it.
And they're like... The tour, like when they first announced the tour, the public are like losing their minds, but then they're like, what, they're not doing London or like New York. They're doing like Stonehenge and ancient Athens and stuff.
Yeah.
Why is this tour going to these weird places?
They open the Ark, as like the encores, they open the Ark and it just melts the faces off of everyone in the crowd. And that's what they're doing. They're going around, you know, slaying thousands, stealing more souls.
And just nicking sort of ancient artifacts as they go. Love it. Really good.
There you go.
Struggle to sort of see Beyonce as the villain and Tina and Michelle? No, not Tina. Kelly and Michelle. Tina's Beyonce's mum.
Yeah, the fourth.
Some people would say she's the fourth Destiny's Child.
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer? Are you excited?
Yeah, everyone was like losing their mind over the CG of young Harrison Ford, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think that trailer, what it did really well, John, is it used the music
John Williams will do that to you.
As soon as you hear those classic, you know, strings of the Indiana Jones music, you think everything's okay. It's going to be brilliant. But the thing is, John, that music's existed forever. It has nothing to do with the new film. So how do we know? I'm hopeful. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the music, you know, it's got the music.
I've heard there's music involved. Yeah, fingers crossed. I just hope there's not too much in the past using potentially questionable CGI to make him look young.
Yeah.
But who knows? It's always nice to see Harrison Ford doing something he enjoys rather than sort of being forced to do more Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
What about this one from me? Top Gun, Maverick Astley.
Wow.
Both 80s icons.
Very much so.
I guess Rick Astley flies a plane. I wouldn't know because I've only seen half the film.
I don't mind it. Rick Astley flies a plane.
I mean,
Rick Astley, his pop career's over. He's decided to become a pilot, a commercial pilot for a living.
Yeah.
And he's on a plane and it gets hijacked.
Mm.
And he saves the day.
Got it. And they're like, the US Air Force have to sort of support him. So there's like little planes flying around him. And that's where Tom Cruise can get involved.
Yeah.
And he jumps off a plane onto the other plane and then, you know, turns into a single molecule and explodes or something.
Yeah.
And
nice.
He did that for real.
It's crazy. There's nothing he won't do for the Mission Impossible films. He cut his own arm off in the next one.
Yeah. He's just walking around like completely... just half the man he used to be.
What do you think he would do? They've written the film and they come to Tom Cruise and they're like, here's a list of stunts we want to do. Do you think he'd pull a tooth out on camera?
Well, you know he's got like strangely symmetrical teeth, right?
Yeah.
He's got one
big front tooth, yeah. Would he pull that out for Mission Impossible?
I think he would be willing to remove a tooth if it made sense to the plot and was seen as big spectacle. Now we're getting into trouble because pulling a tooth, you can put the tooth back in, right?
Stick a new finger on.
No, it's not as simple as that, Joel.
I think he'd lose a finger.
You think?
For the final Mission Impossible film, I think that's maybe what he'll do.
There was that guy, I want to say his name was Felix Baumgartner. I might be wrong, but he jumped out of space onto Earth. That feels like the sort of thing you'd do next, right?
Yeah, that's probably what he's going to do, isn't it? Jump from space. What in the plot will necessitate him jumping from space?
There must be an element of that. Because I think the films broadly make sense, right? I don't think...
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't interrogate them too much. But they broadly make sense. But I assume the first meeting, Chris McQuarrie, who's writer-director, sits with Tom Cruise and they think of the craziest thing they can do. And then they say, how do we put that into
a
functioning plot, right?
You're right. It'll be space next.
It must be space. They've
be space.
Because this is Dead Reckoning part one and then two is the end. So
that's the end.
He needs to go just unbelievable. It just has to be next level.
It's going to be outrageous. Can't wait. And he'll be like 67 years old or something. Right. That was great. That was a really... what a way to start 2023. Some of the best ideas we've had in ages. Thank you very much. John, if you had to pick a winner, what would you pick?
There was one really good one from you. I can't remember what it was.
Was it Duffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, Duffy.
I think Martin wins this week. Martin, congrats. You're a hero. And John, we need to leave because shuffling in the way into the room, at least I think it is. I can't tell because I've taken quite a lot of cocaine as a great big bear. Well done, John.
Thank you, mate.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was good. So last week, we were on the Distraction Pieces podcast about TV.
Yeah.
And for anyone who listened to that, thank you. Say nice things. Tell Pip we're brilliant. And then secondly, I wanted to sort of use this as an opportunity to do a little postscript because we've sort of consumed telly that probably would have been part of that conversation had we have done it later.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also missed a couple out, so... We talked about them, but I finished Bad Sisters and White Lotus too, and they're both amazing.
Yeah.
And
I've also watched and finished White Lotus since recording that, and it is maybe my favourite show of the year.
I messaged Joel after like episode 3 of Bad Sisters and said, I'm not sure there's 10 episodes in this, but I hold my hands up and admit defeat because it was great all the way to the end. Yeah,
it is really good.
But
I'm curious about series 2.
Yeah, that's what I was literally about to say. They've commissioned a second series, but... this show couldn't feel more like a sort of one-off, so I'm fascinated to see what they do now. And then I didn't mention SAS Rogue Heroes, which I watched and was lots of fun.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Setting up of the SAS. Am I Being Unreasonable, which is Daisy May Cooper's sort of interesting sort of dark comedy that she did on the BBC. The Great, season two. Do you watch The Great? Amazing show.
I've heard good things about The Great. No.
Is it Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult?
Mm-hmm.
And I've just started last night because this is only like three episodes in. So this probably wouldn't, this would probably be more logical for next year, chat. But Pip, invite us back on. I Hate Susie 2. Started recently, and I watched one episode, and it is as brilliant as you remember if you've watched
the first series. Yeah, I love the first series, so I need to catch up on that.
So yeah, those, I just wanted to sort of say.
Amazing.
Did you have a lovely festive period, Joel? Because
I did, actually. I had a pretty relaxed time.
Yeah?
I had some time off. I've been sleeping loads.
Oh.
Sorry to rub that in.
No, good. I know
you're father to a young child. But I'm normally like a 6 or 7 hour guy. And the last few nights, I've been a 9 hour guy.
Woo! We're talking. Now we're cooking.
That's big sleeps.
Yes. Those are big sleeps.
So that's just, maybe that's my year. Maybe I'm a big snoozy boy this year.
Do you feel better for it? Do you feel happy for it? Do you feel this is me now?
I think it might be temporary. I think I might just be catching up. So we'll see. Mm. I'll let you know next week. Everyone, tune in next week and I'll let you know how many hours I'm getting a night. So that's a reason to tune back.
What
in.
A tease.
So we'll see you January the 10th. Well done, John. That was good stuff. And thank you everyone for listening. Please send your ideas in for movies. We desperately need them. If you are a new listener, because you heard us on Scroobius Pip, let us know. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Send us a tweet. Tell us you love us. Or just say you're having a fine time.
We are at Dream Factory Pod everywhere. And then I think we're dreamfactory@gmail.com. Or maybe we're dreamfactorypod@gmail.com. It's in the description.
Go look for it. Send us ideas. We love you. See you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.